I understand there was a small concert going on in the park today. And this is Barbara Limper, and she is the wonderful wife of John, and they're down from Lakeland. And she was in the park just ministering to the Lord this afternoon on her guitar, and she had some people come by, and there was a witness going on, and it's a little bit of a confrontation, and they got a chance to witness to him. Isn't that great? And but the main thing is that the people that you guys were talking to knew this church existed, and they knew I was a pastor here and what was going on. So praise God. Jesus I know, Paul I know, Bronk I know. At least I'm recognized. If they had said, we don't know that guy, I'd have been worried. I was like, oh, God. So at least the confronters knew who I was. Well, it was. So I'm going to ask Barbara. I just felt like she should share maybe a song or two. So, Barbara, why don't you come? I've never had the pleasure, and I think this is going to be a tremendous pleasure.
You know, whenever we exalt Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes on the scene. And you exalt him a lot here, so he's on the scene. And I'm just going to jump into what's already been going on, and that's praising and glorifying and magnifying Jesus. You probably know this song. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. One more time. Oh, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given at such a high price, bought our redemption, now heaven's gates are open wide, swing wide, you heavenly gates. Lift up your heads, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. That the King of glory may come in. That the King of glory may come in. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Power in that name of Jesus. Yes, there's power in your name, Lord Jesus, to break every chain, 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 break every chain. Every chain of addiction, every chain of religious bondage, every chain. Yes, an army and a mockery rising up to break every chain, every chain, every chain, to break every chain in the name of Jesus, of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
My goodness. Praise God. When Gary gets finished again tonight, there'll be an opportunity for you to give. He said something last night which was so wonderful on his part. He said his expenses has been met at one part of the trip coming up. And that's to help us to feel relaxed. And I appreciate that. But that's for us to stop right there. That's just not the way we roll. We don't roll that way around here. There's just no way to say, oh, well, Gary's expenses have been paid. Woo, praise God. Somebody else did it. You've come to Immokalee. So that's, we're going to bless again tonight. And I'm going to ask you to listen as he ministers. Let God minister not only the word to you, but your part. So, Gary, we love you. Let's give Gary and the Holy Spirit a great big hand. Amen.
Go ahead and be opening up again to Luke. This time go to Luke chapter 1. I'll just read this other verse to you. And then put a marker again in Isaiah 55. And we'll be to Luke 1 in a minute. The kind of the foundational verse for what he's having me teach. I could put all kinds of titles. I don't know what the title of the series will be. I just know what he's having me teach right now. The things, this is Luke 18, 27, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen? To say it with me. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, thinking about that, go ahead and go on over to Isaiah. Let's go over there again. Look at our foundational scriptures. We're going to go a little further in that passage tonight. Isaiah 55. Verses 8 and 9. And then I'm going to quickly summarize our little visual display that he's helping illustrate this. See, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, we've all had an understanding of those passages for a long time. We could couple this up right now with Romans 12, 2, which is one of our favorite passages. Beloved, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if you've been around this church and the teachings of Bronk and Pastor Dave and all of the people that are associated, Jim Martin and everybody, well, we're all about renewing the mind, learning how to meditate God's Word, but not only learning how to assimilate and meditate the Word of God, the written Word, but employing the teacher that God has sent to us, the agency of the Holy Spirit. See, colleges and schools, you know, they don't just give you a book. When I went to engineering school, they didn't just give me a civil engineering book. They gave me a book and a teacher. They got that idea from God. God, he gave us a book. Well, thank God for the book. How many of you know just the book alone? Have you noticed not every church agrees with every other church? I think they would if they all had the same teacher, see? The same teacher, because the Holy Ghost isn't going to teach two different doctrines across the street from each other. That's just not going to happen. So anyway, we've had a renewing of the mind. I could just go through here. We could just begin to talk. And you don't realize how transformed you are until you get back out in the world a little bit. You're like from the moon. You don't think the way they think. You don't even think the things that they laugh about and think are funny. They're not even funny to you. They're trash. And you know, we don't think the same way they do about politically correct things. Let's just leave it there, okay? abortion, on and on and on we could go. We don't think the same about sin. We don't think the same about righteousness. We have been renewed, and if you don't think you have, just get out there a little bit. You'll be going, okay, I'm pretty renewed. But then when God started, time to bring us to another level. See, I'm so glad Homer's here tonight. I myself, I'm not intimidated. I'm mad as hell. Is that clear? Is that plain enough for you? I'm mad as hell. Demons think they can touch the man of God and get away with it. What's wrong with them? We're bringing revival to this city. God is bringing revival here. My God will take vengeance on them for touching the man of God. Now, you hear me? And he's not going to stay like this either. I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it either. Neither should you.
Praise God.
Well, that's the truth. God's trying to raise us up to what he calls normal church. Normal is when Homer walks out of here healed. And nothing short of that is normal from God's point of view.
Praise God.
I'm kicking my own rear. Is that okay with you? I should be able to, as long as I've been at this, this should have been done a long time ago. So let's just all get over ourselves and let's get back in the school of the Holy Ghost and let's get this show on the road here. Why not have a revival start with Homer? Why not just have revival start with Homer? That'd be a good one, I think, you know. What the world says can't happen, it can happen. I love you, Homer. I'm mad at myself. It's okay, I know you love me anyway. Don't edit a word of that off of that tape. I'll come at you. Oh, you're the one. I'll be mad as hell again. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Well, he's trying to raise us up now beyond religious. It's not really religious. It's God's thinking, all right. He wants us walking holy and righteous and walking in love and all of the things that we've been. But, you know, just about the time you think you're renewed, then he starts talking to me with sentences like this. I'm reading through there and I come to the wedding feast of Cana. And somebody, and what if it's you? And they're out of wine. And it's your mother. And she turns to you and says, they're out of wine and I want you to do something about it. Now, which of us, our first thought is, well, just bring me some water. Which of us, you know, what's Gary's first thought? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. How far is it to the nearest liquor store? Is there a winery nearby? Is there a vineyard? Where do we go? And that we think natural, don't we? We don't. And Jesus' first thought wasn't bring me water. You know what his first thought was? Father, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Father? That's got to be our first thought. We've got to go there first. Then the feeding of the 5,000, and it's 5,000 men. It says 5,000 men plus women and children. So there had to be 10, 15,000 people there. And, you know, they've been with Jesus, been teaching out there for three days. And the disciples, they're trying to be thoughtful and nice, and they're going, well, these people are hungry, you know. We need to go into town, and I think in the King James it says, buy victuals. Yeah, I never have eaten any victuals yet, I don't think. But anyway, doesn't even sound good. But anyway, see, I know my first thought, if I've been out there traveling and everything, if I'm the minister, if it's my meeting, and, you know, I'm hungry too. And they're going, we're going to go in Tulsa, we have Quick Trip. What do y'all have? You have Howdy's? What is the name of that? Handy's. I knew it was something like that. Had an H in there. Y'all are going down to Handy's? Hey, get me a ham on rye while you're down there, would you? In other words, I'd be thinking just as natural as they were. God's going, come up higher. He said, now, it's time to not only be walking righteous and holy and in love and all those things. Yes, thank God for that. But he says, when are we going to start getting about the kingdom business? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. When I read it now, and Jesus sent out the 12, and then also when he sent out the 70, the message was, tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, if something is at hand, it's in reach. It means I have it for the receiving. It's at hand. And in the same breath, practically, he says, okay, preach that. Then he might as well have said, then demonstrate it by healing the sick, casting out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. If we're doing that, Immokalee's in revival. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. So he's trying to get us now to get about our Father's business. So when I read this now, when he says, my thoughts are not even your thoughts. Now, Homer, I'm going to try and illustrate this with words instead of pictures like I've been doing it. To help me understand this, he got an old math book into my hand. It's called The Fourth Dimension and the Bible. It was written in the 1920s by a mathematician who was also a believer. And he just starts us off. Now, someone lock the door. I'm going to mention math. I'm going to mention geometry. Don't let them run for the door. In geometry, the smallest thing you can have in plain geometry is a dot. Just one dot. No dimensions. No vertical, no width, just a dot. The next simplest thing is a series of dots. What would we call that? That's a line. And it can be a straight line, it can be a curved line, but it's still a line. That's a series of dots. Well, in this book, this man, he said, let's imagine, pretend that there's an imaginary universe called Lineland. And Linelanders live there. And all they know is length. They're people, but they're people who are dots. And they have no concept, not even a thought. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. They don't even have a thought of width. There is only length. They don't even have a thought of height or depth. There's only length, but they're perfectly happy in Lineland. Here's a line. They just go up and down Lineland, just real happy, and they can go forwards and backwards. And Homer, I'm walking back and forth on a line. I've been to Lineland University, and I'm very happy with my line, and I don't need to, the hula hoop will be okay. And everything's fine until suddenly, I need an obstacle. Until suddenly there's some kind of obstacle in Lineland. There's something in the way. And I come up against it, and now what do I do? This wasn't here yesterday. In my mind, my thoughts, there is no thought of left, right, over, under. All I know is forward and backward. That's all there is in my universe. So now I start bewailing. Oh, woe's me. It's impossible. It's impossible. There isn't any way. I've come up with, and all the people behind me. Oh, it's impossible. And all of a sudden a guy from Flatland comes. Now, Flatland, they live in two-dimensional world like a sheet of paper. They not only have length, they also have width. They don't know anything about height, up and down, over or under, but they do understand width. That guy can see me from Flatland, but I can't see him. And he's watching me bewail. Oh, it's impossible. I'm up against this obstacle. I can't go forward. Oh, it's impossible. And finally, he just has mercy on me. He just grabs me and takes me around to the left. Now, by the way, when I leave the line, in Lineland, I disappear. Remind you of a verse? And Enoch was not, for God took him. I just disappeared. Everybody behind me, he was there. Then he was gone. But this guy, he just sets me back on the other side of the obstacle, and I reappear in Lineland. I never did see him. But it's a miracle. It's a miracle, everybody. The revival has spread through Lineland. There is a God. He's from Flatland. And we're all, it's a miracle. But the guy from Flatland's going, oh, brother. From where I live, this is pretty simple. This is not anything. So now we're going to graduate to the Flatland guy. Now, Flatlander, in his universe, there's length and width, like a sheet of paper. There's no height and there's no depth. So he has a lot more range of motion. He can move left and right, and he can go all around. And normally I use a hula hoop for this illustration. He's fine until he comes to some kind of obstacle, and usually I put a hula hoop on the ground right there. Now, got to remember, he's a dot, and the hula hoop is a series of dots. To him, it's an impenetrable wall. It's forever vertical. All he can do is try and go around and see if maybe there's an opening around the edge of the hula hoop, but it's solid there, and he has to get to the center. Salvation for him, somehow he has to get to, he was there before, he's got to get to the center of this thing, and he keeps going around the circle. It's impossible. It's impossible. I'm sorry to bother you again. But there's an Earthlander watching him, someone that lives in our realm, see, a three-dimensional person. Now, the three-dimensional thoughts are higher than the flatlander's thoughts. In the three-dimensional world, we not only have length and width. What else we got?
Height.
Height and depth. So he watches this guy bewail for a while, but eventually just has mercy on him, picks him up vertically, and sets him in the center of the circle. Now, when he picked him up and he left flatland, he disappeared. And we all go, he was right there. I saw him. He was right there, and he was gone. And then he reappeared in another location. Does that remind you of a verse? And Philip was found at Azotus. Remember, he was ministering to the eunuch? Ethiopian. Who was it? Ethiopian eunuch. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good going, Gary. All right. And then all of a sudden, he was just gone, you know. I'm telling you, I prophesy, Trinity Airlines is coming back to the church. We're going to have more and more of that. I won't have to spend 2 days driving down here. All of a sudden, Gary was found at Immokalee. Hallelujah. Gronk was found at Tulsa, wherever he sends us, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, thank you very much. So then, now we get to the earthlanders, and that's us. See, but when God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways, we've still tended to be limited. By the way, I've been attacked by whole herds of yeah buts. All things are possible, yeah, but, you know. Yeah, but there are herds of them. They come through, you know. Yeah, but this and yeah, but that. No, you can have your miracle without the yeah buts. You got to get past the yeah buts. Put them all to yeah buts to death. No yeah buts shall live in thy land. If it draws breath, kill the yeah but. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm having a good time. We're no different than the flatlander, the linelander. We have God. Whether we can see it, we can't see him, you know, unless he manifests himself somehow to us. But our God is real. Our God lives in a realm. He created this realm. I think that's as far as we've gotten. We've taught on that right on at that area. Now, let's go two more verses now. Because now he gives us the first conduit from the realm where God lives to this realm where he's trying to help us. By the way, he's benevolent too, and he's watching us with our struggles. And he has the answer. I'm going to say it again. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. I'm going to say again. See this word I'm holding up here? He has a possible for your impossible. He's about to tell us about it right here in Scripture. He has a possible for every impossible, and I don't care what that impossible is. So then he says, let's read those two verses and continue this time. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Again, think about the changing the water to wine. Think about multiplying the loaves and fishes. Think about his ways are so much higher than ours. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That part really has been getting, every time I meditate this, I think the thoughts of the flatlander could not even go to what was possible. He was so limited. You know what he would have to have? He would have to have a word from an earthlander to even have a thought that vertical was possible. Is that a good statement? Wouldn't he have to have a word from the earthlander, somebody who lived in that other realm? Say, hey, you know, there's such a thing as vertical. What? Because in his universe, there is no such thing as that. But in God's universe, all things are possible. His realm is so much higher, we don't even know what to think. There's a verse, he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we even ask or think. Where he lives, we can't even think it unless he gives us his thoughts. Do you know what a miracle you've got in your hand? These words, somehow, God, these words did not originate on this planet. These sentences, these thoughts are from that realm, I don't know what to call it, universe, dimension, sphere, spirit world, wherever that is that God lives. These thoughts originated there. Somehow he got them across the void. through the prophets first and then through his son. And then we've got his thoughts in our hands. At Jim Martin's, I said, you know what this really is? That's the realm that, see, if you're born again, you're really from that realm. You know what this Bible is? This is news from home. It is. This is news from your father who lives in that realm, and he's trying to communicate to us. What was it last night? I called it Fathead, Earthhead. Trying to educate Earthhead to where we can start thinking his thoughts. God, that's good stuff. That's good stuff right there. So he says then, verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For and then he starts getting it down to Jane, see the ball. He's trying to get this down where even Gary can get this. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Let me paraphrase a little. He's going, Gary, yes, sir. Gary, how old are you? 67. How many springs have you seen? 67. He says, have you ever seen it rain, Gary? Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it rain. He says, when it rains, does that rain have any effect on the earth? Well, yeah, Lord, every spring when the rains start coming and pretty soon the flowers begin to bud and the trees begin to bud out and the leaves come and the fields, they begin to produce all the fruit and the grain and everything. And God, it does? He said, did it do it this spring? Yes, sir. How about the spring before that? Yeah, it did it that spring too. How about every time it rains? Lord, it always works every time. So does my word. That's what he's trying to get across to us. He said, my word is like that. It will not fail. Amen. You've got to get it. The word has the seed of your answer for every problem you'll ever have. The image, just like there's an image in Oklahoma, we grow lots of corn. And that little corn seed is a little yellowish white little kernel, maybe a quarter inch square. But see, there's an image on the inside of each kernel, just one of those. It doesn't have an image of a kernel in it. It's got an image of the whole plant. You plant that thing, and it's, maybe if you've never seen corn grow, and you plant that thing in the ground and you water it, I mean, it was kind of yellowish white, and you're expecting a plant like it to grow, and the first thing that comes out of the ground is green and flat. You're going, I must have planted the wrong seed. You try and eat it, doesn't taste like corn, No, you haven't got the full image yet. See, that's what we do all the time. We don't first. How did Jesus teach this? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But what we have to understand, that image, just like it's in that corn seed, and I mean it will. Out of that little bitty seed, that not even a quarter inch square. In Oklahoma, that plant, that big old green tall plant, normally is taller than you are, especially taller than I am. And it not only has one kernel, it'll have several ears. And if you shuck them and look in there, there's dozens and dozens of kernels. I mean, God's a multiplier. And each one of those, if you plant and nurture them, will produce. And each one of those, and on and on and on it goes. My dad planted, he likes apple trees and pear trees around his place. When they first moved there, he planted some apples and pear trees. They lived there for like almost 40 years. Those trees, the thing about a tree, it not only produces, it produces every year. Those limbs, he would have to go out some years, they would be so loaded down with apples or pears, it's going to break the limbs off. They'd be bowed down, almost touching the ground, you know. And we'd have to go out and get 2x4s and 2x6s and help prop the limbs up before we could harvest the fruit off. For if we didn't, they'd just break off. And they reproduce every year. I've often thought, I mean, from one seed, that tree came. Over the lifetime of 40 years, how many apples with how many seeds? You could be an apple baron by now. if you took every one of those seeds and planted them, and I mean, you could have it, you could cover the state of Oklahoma. That's God, see. The answer is in the seed. Now say this with me. With God's word, there is never a problem with the seed. The seed will produce every time without fail. That's what he meant. Just like when the rain comes, it has an effect every time. So is his word. You can depend on it. It will produce every time. See, the seed is perfect. The Satan has no power against the word of God. He has to attack the ground. We are the ground, see. That's why Mark 4, and we're not going to go there today because you've had already a lot of good teaching. The seed is perfect. There's never a problem with the seed. Satan cannot stop your answer when it comes to God's word. He can only work on your ground, and that's you. We're told how he does it. Here's how he does it. I'm going to paraphrase. You know, let's see. Persecution, affliction, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. Choke the word. Let's put it just a little differently. Trouble. Daily problems. The busyness of life. Just the busyness of life, cares of this world, busyness of life. That's usually enough, to be honest. We get so busy with the busy that we forget about nurturing the seed. And before long, maybe we did get a blade, but blades don't taste very good. You were trying to eat a blade of corn? Not very nutritious. I don't know if you can survive on that. You ever eat a niblet? You know, it's first the blade, then the ear. Did you ever go shuck a 2-inch long ear of corn when it's just starting? I call them niblets. Hard dickens. You have to boil those suckers. They're never not even good for cornbread or nothing, you know. But what happens is the plant will just die from lack of attention. You get busy with other things. You don't confess the word. Yes, sir. You don't nurture the word. You don't pray over the word. Now, listen, I come from a family of farmers. Not my current family, but my history on both sides. Let me just tell you something. This generation, now you guys know a lot about farming down here. Do we got any farmers? Okay, nobody. Can I get an amen? Farming is hard work. Amen. All right. I am telling you, if you think farming is, I'm going to go plant my seed, and then I'm going to go on vacation, and then I'm going to come back in 3 months, and I'm going to have my harvest, you got another thing coming. It does not work that way in the natural, and it does not work that way in the spiritual. The fowls of the air come. And that's, you know, every demon in hell, you're trying to stand for you're going to get the devil's attention. Homer's one of the best word men I know, and I think he got the devil's attention. Well, we're going to get his attention back. We're going to get his attention before this is over. You watch and see. But farming is work. And we just, we have a little promise box. My scripture for the day. Here's my word. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou wouldest prosper and be in health. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I love you too. Even as thy soul prospers. And we pray over it. Shandalai, Shandalai, I tie my bow tie. Should have bought a Honda, but about a Hyundai. Hyundai's good too. And we think we farmed. No. When it comes to God's Word, how many of you ever heard me teach about the original ring binder that I used to pray, and I'd write down petitions, and there it is. No, it's not available. Not even for a big love offering. You don't have enough money to buy this, okay? I made this little drawing I printed this out myself. I created this thing. What it says on the front of it is just to remind me, the Holy Spirit will not perform the unspoken word for anybody. Not even for God the Father. Gary, how can you say that? Because in the beginning, when darkness covered the face of the deep, God wanted light. Now, is the Holy Spirit also God? Yes. Is He all-knowing like God the Father is all-knowing and Jesus is all-knowing? Yes. Does the Holy Spirit know that the Father wants light? Yes. There He is, brooding over the face of the waters, pulsating power, able to produce light, but He's not doing anything. Even though He knows what the Father wants, He is waiting on something. What is He waiting on? To hear the spoken word. In our King James, let there be light. I like it better in the Hebrew. He's waiting for light be, and light was. God, I get goosebumps, man. He wouldn't even do it for God the Father when He knew the Father's will. And He waited for the spoken word. When He was teaching me this, He said, what do you think the chances are, Gary? I'll make an exception in your case. Part of farming, you better get the word of God in your mouth. When Jesus was attacked by the devil, and the devil, do you understand all of humanity's salvation hinged on Jesus winning this war? And the last Adam, he had to succeed where the first Adam failed. He had to overcome temptation. We read there, now Dave, he hasn't taught at length on this, but Dave, when he teaches on this, says we're given three temptations. He says, and Dave says, I think that's kind of a summary of what happened. He says, I think the devil tempted Jesus with every torment, every trying to get him to commit suicide, you know, and so it's reduced down to this little thing. But how important is it? All of, forever, all the souls that will ever be in heaven hinges on Jesus winning this war. So how important is the tool that He uses? How important is the weapon that He draws? Maybe we should do what He did. So what He did is He stood up to the devil. Every temptation, He had happy thoughts. Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. No, every temptation, He played a worship CD. So most people do when they're under attack. I'm not against any of that. I mean, that's fine. I like worship. And what did He do? He thought the Word of God. That's right. He remembered. He listened. He put on another Bronc tape and listened. No? What did He do? He had to put it in His mouth. It is written. It is written. It is written. He didn't have anything to use that you don't already have in your hand. Glory to God. I thank God for the written Word of God, what we call the Logos. We've already been through a few of these examples when the devil attacked my daughters. And pray for any family that has three teenage daughters all at the same time. Amen. All three of mine went into rebellion at once, you know. And all three of them. And it's bad. And I'm not going to go into that again. He gave us His Word. Just in case, I want you to see it. Whether you need this yourself, you can share this with somebody else. Isaiah 49. You're out there in Isaiah anyway. Just back up to Isaiah 49, verses 24 and 25. I shared this last year. There's Terry and Donna Cruz. And there was somewhat of a warfare with one of their daughters. Stood on this verse. And it was the first thing they told me when I saw them this year. The Lord has turned that situation completely around. God's Word works. That's the weapon he has given us. It is written, it is written, it is written. In our case, I didn't know what to do, and I'm not going to teach it at length, but he gave us these verses, Isaiah 49, verses 24 and 25. Boy, we spoke these. We didn't just think them. We walked the floor. We thanked God for them. We spoke them out loud. It says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? See, the enemy was, I mentioned my youngest one because she was the one that got the most rebellious. But they were all three living for the devil. And they knew better. That's how the enemy was defeating me. He kept going, you didn't raise them this way. They know better than this. They're choosing me. They're choosing me. And the devil was trying to get me to believe that he had a right to them. And I didn't know. He was saying, they're lawfully captive. They're choosing me. Well, I didn't know the answer to that. I was, what? Well, here's the question. Shall the lawful captive be delivered? And I'm going, thus saith the Lord. That's what I need to find out. What do you say, Lord? Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. The prey of the terrible. In other words, I don't care how bad these devils are. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Glory to God. We walk the floor. It is written. It is written. Devil, I bet you hoped we'd never find this, devil. I want you to know God is contending with you. That's contending with us. God will save our children. We'd walk the floor. Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy in Jesus' name. They serve the Lord their God. They give to the poor. They minister to the sick. They preach the gospel everywhere they go. And if you'd have walked up and talked to me, now when we're in the middle of the war, I don't have time to be nice. How's your daughters doing? Now, I could have said, they're in the bars. I'm telling you, they're out drinking and carousing. I know they are. I don't know what all. I'm afraid they're going to get raped. I'm afraid they're going to get drugged. I'm afraid of this or that, you know. And one of them at that moment was in prison, right, or in jail, headed to prison. And I could have said all of that. If you'd have asked me right during that war, I said, my daughter is the handmaiden of the Lord, all three of them. They serve the Lord their God. They prophesy in Jesus' name. They lay hands on the sick and they recover. However long you'd stand there is how long I'd keep telling you. You'd have to walk off. And we did it enough. We were full. I mean, at first it took a little while, but we got full. We fed on the word till the corn stalk was growing. The ears were growing, the manifestation. Within a year, all three of them were serving us in the ministry, working for the Lord in Jesus' name. Within 2 years, all three of them. Within 2 years, I don't want to evangelistically speak. But I think it was 2 years before all three of them were there. Isn't that something? In the early 90s, I don't know if it was 90 or 91, I was diagnosed, most of you know this, I was diagnosed. They gave me 6 months to live. I had melanoma cancer. They said it was the fastest spreading, most deadly kind. You know, that's not exactly what you want to hear, you know. We stood on God's word again. And again, I've said these things many times. I want to get into something else. We stood on his word again. Sue and I come in agreement. We come in agreement on some scriptures. Man, I confessed those scriptures, confessed them. They gave me 6 months to live in about 1990. That has been a long 6 months. Okay. Then later on, in the mid-90s, I was diagnosed with a incurable heart disease. Now, it's not fatal, but it's incurable. They say there is no cure for it. You got to take this medicine the rest of your life. Trouble is, there are side effects with that medicine, and it accelerates arthritis. Well, I don't need to be taking nothing like that when I'm going into my 50s, you know. So Dave prayed for me, but then the assignment I got from the Lord was I had to confess his word. I would do it three times a day. Every time I had to, no, at first it was four times a day. Every time I would take that medicine, I'd also confess three scriptures. By his stripes I was healed. Himself bore my sickness and carried my pains. You bless my water. You bless my food. You take sickness away from the midst of me. Okay? And I confess it. Sometimes it'd be other scriptures, but those are the main ones that I remember. And over a 2-year period, he healed me. I took the last dose of that medicine in May of 1998. Here it is, 2014. Can you tell I didn't die? You know, I haven't had any more blackouts. Now, I'll tell you this, two or three times in those years, the enemy has tried to circle back around. Do you remember when it says, even with Jesus, He left him until a more opportune time. Two or three times he circled back around and tried to put those symptoms on me again, but I remembered. Thank God I've had good teaching. I said, no, you don't, devil. I got healed of that. I'm never going to have it again. I'm not. No, I resist you in Jesus' name. And sure enough, the symptoms left. Amen. We've been redeemed from that. Now, all of that, I'm saying that about his written word. And when he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, so shall my word be. We have his thoughts when it comes to many, 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 most of the problems in life. You already have his thoughts. I can look at Jesus. Jesus said, you want to know what the Father thinks? Look at me. What do y'all think the Father thinks about blindness? The blind shall what? What do you think he thinks about the lame? The lame shall walk. Jesus said, if you want to see the Father, look at me. Well, I don't see Jesus putting sickness on nobody. In fact, I've already done a little homework. You can check it out yourself. Now, I'm not saying everybody in every town that Jesus walked through got healed. That's not true. But what you will find is every single person that came to him for healing got what they came for. Every single one of them. And I'll tell you this, not one of them did he say, yes, it is the Father's will to heal you, just not today. Come back Thursday. We'll check again, you know. No, every single one of them got what they came for, and they got it when they came. Now, if you find something 100% of the time, I'm pretty sure you can, I think I know the Father's will regarding that. Amen? Are you getting that? Okay. So when it comes to most of the issues of life, we have his thoughts. If the enemy attacks me with some kind of sickness, I can find his thoughts. I can take that seed. He said it works just like seed. I can take his word. I am the soil. This is not rocket science. I am the soil. I plant it in my heart. How do you do that? I plant it by speaking. Then I confess it every day. I make sure that I attend it like a good farmer. I don't let weeds grow up in it. I don't get so busy that I don't have time to like if the birds of the air come to eat it up. I'm not too busy to go shoo away the birds in Jesus' name. And herds of yabbits, too, if they come. Herds of yabbits, you know. That's reasonings. They're always trying to reason you out of your miracle. Shut up, you yabbits. You know. You got to be, farming is work. You got to attend it every day, all right? And you got to make sure you water it. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, which had not yet been given, for Jesus had not yet been glorified. But the good news for us is he has been glorified, and the Holy Ghost has been given, and I can water my field. Glory, pray in other tongues and let that water flow and irrigate my field. But then now, see, let's... When he says, my word, yes, now go over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Hallelujah. This lion clock, I'll tell you. First Timothy chapter 1. See, because as good as his, y'all know I love his word. I know Homer loves his word. Homer and I, man, we could just, you want to just let eternity go by, just put us in the same room with the Bible and let us talk, okay? I mean, days, weeks will go by, we're talking about the word, we didn't even notice, you know? And, well, we might get hungry. But anyway, we love his word. But see, the day came, you know, when you're, if you're really going to be his servant, you want to serve him. I have hunted. I have looked. From Genesis to maps, there is no book of Gary. I tried to find it. I wish there was one where I could go to Gary, chapter 67, verse 20, the 20th. Oh, Gary, thou shalt be in Immokalee. Wouldn't that be great? But see, there, you won't find it in there. Ah, but is there a book of Gary? Yes, there is. It's called the plan of God. In Romans 8, it's called the mind of the Spirit. It's called the mind of Christ for Gary. There is a plan of God for Gary. It already exists. I don't have to create it. My job is to find it. And I don't have to find it like an orphan. He said, I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you into all truth. Now, if you were at the prayer center, and Tim Stemple, many of you probably don't know Tim, but Tim is like He's the administrator for Dave. It's because of Tim that Dave really can pastor. Without Tim, Dave would probably be an evangelist, because Tim handles all of the letter writing, he handles the staff, he handles all of that kind of stuff, so Dave can spend his time in prayer and fasting and the word and ministry and that type of thing. But if you were around Tim very much, now Tim is an administrator, boy, and you get around Tim very much, before long he's going to say, can you show me your blueprint? And you say something real spiritual like, why? What do you mean a blueprint? And he said, well, the blueprint for your life. You know, the one the Holy Ghost has been showing you. You still, you know, at first you go, what? Because what we encourage you to do, and what Dave really encourages you to do too, as you do begin to pray in other tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to do exactly what he's been sent to do. And he's going to start revealing the mind of Christ to you for your life. Now, I brought my old ring binder. This probably hasn't moved in a long time from where I keep it. But just as I was leaving to come to Immokalee, I heard him on this trip. He said, take that with you. What's in here, mostly, this goes way back to the very beginning. And there's revelations in here, because one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to teach you what the Word of God means. So in the early days, this started in the trucks, and you'll see typed things here's. You'll see typed things in here, but they started out handwritten in a spiral notebook. I didn't even have a handheld recorder then. Whatever he'd tell me, I kept a little spiral with me, and I'd pull over as soon as I could, and I'd write down whatever it was, whether it was a vision, whether it was just a revelation, just something he said to me. For example, it's not, you know, mystical stuff. Like one day he said to me, it's so simple now, but at the time it was revelation. It was deep calleth unto deep. He said, because I always just thought Moses, law. You know, don't we, you know, automatically, Moses, law. He said, well, the deliverance of Israel, he just said it to me. The deliverance of Israel through the hand of Moses was certainly not by the law, for the law had not yet been given. I had to go get the Bible to make sure that was true. But it is true. They come out of Egypt, they go across, and you don't get the law until Exodus 20 or somewhere right in there. They're already out of Egypt. Isn't that something? Isn't that good? You know, I'm doggone, just praying in tongues. That makes you hungry for the next one. Yeah, you pray about 10 hours and the abbots come back. But anyway, you just never know when it's coming. And he almost has this way of showing up I don't know what it is about showers. You're all lathered up, and then all of a sudden, here comes the Holy Ghost. You go, now? Help me remember that till I get dried off, you know? So there's revelation in there, things that he would teach me. Then there was, and there's confessions that I think here was the first time I ever really taught the John 14 confessions. You remember those where I went all the way back through John 14? And I just made a present tense, I think it's 14, 15, and 16. I made present tense confessions, and I taught that here, I think, the first time. Those are in there, I noticed a while ago. But then there's also what's in there, personal instruction for me. Now, for an example, let's get real practical. I marked one here today. Today, while I was just minding my own business today, I got a text from a friend in another state, and they're asking me if on the way back I could stop at their church and do a meeting on next Wednesday night. Well, we have some natural issues. I've already been gone like 2 weeks. Sue's birthday is Monday. They want me to be there Wednesday, okay? But see, my life is not my own. And I don't just make decisions based on that. I immediately remembered back, this is how I make decisions. And this is something that I probably hand wrote this back in, I can tell you when, February 15th, 1997. I had not yet taught at the conference in 97. Nobody was asking me to go nowhere. I did not have an invitation to that's true. I didn't realize it was then. I had not yet received my first invitation. Okay? Because I taught in March of 1997, and that's when, you know, we started getting known by people, and people started asking us, LaRue and here and other places, you know. But he's preparing me ahead of time, and I'm going to read it to you. Is that okay? Now, I'm not even saying he would say the same thing to you. What I'm trying to get across, this is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. This is how you find out the book of Jimmy, or the book of Bronk, or the book of that pretty girl. Melody. I started saying medley. I knew it wasn't quite right, medley. But when I'm in the spirit, I have a hard time with names. Gus or something with a G. What is it? Alex. No, it's not a G. Okay. See what I mean? Anyway. Well, later on I can do it. Later on, but right now I can't do it. I hardly know Bronk here. Okay. But what I'm saying is your book is in the mind of Christ. And the Holy Ghost, he'll get it across to you. So you care if I read this one page? He said, I'm just going to pick it up here. He said, invitations not directed and sent by my spirit are a snare. Do not reason and do not use logic to make decisions on which invitations to accept. Turn to your spirit man who is in touch with my spirit. The inner witness, son, neglect not the inner witness. You do have an unction from the Holy One, for he dwells within you, and you know all things. My spirit shall guide you and direct you. Remember my words, quote, he'd already told me earlier, my spirit shall say, go here. My spirit shall say, go there. My spirit shall say, do this. My spirit shall say, say that. Turn to the voice of my spirit within you. Listen to the counselor, son. He knows those divine appointments. He knows which ones are snares. Obey him, follow him, follow the leadership of my spirit. Give reasonings no place in these decisions, but follow my spirit, says the Lord. Make no decision in haste, regardless of the carnal pressure that is placed upon you. Now, sometimes you'll go, we got to have an answer by 2:00. Well, usually I say, well, if that's when you got to have an answer, then the answer is no. Okay, he already told me, don't yield to that kind of pressure. If he wants me to go, he can tell me right now. But if you're going to put pressure on me by 2:00 and I don't hear him saying accept, then we're probably done. Okay? That's not the way the world does it, by the way. Okay? Now respond with, this is the way I do it. If it's the Lord's will, I will come. That's exactly what I told him today. He says, I will give you grace on how to word it. He says, I will give you grace on how to word that instruction so that it will minister grace to the hearers and not offend them. By the way, he's really good at that. You can say no in such a way that they'll feel blessed. But if you listen to him, he's really good at it. Fear not, my son. It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is my supreme delight to lead you by my spirit. It is my joy. It is my extreme pleasure to lead you around every snare of the enemy. I have heard your prayers. I have listened to your heart. I will not direct you falsely. I will send you and direct you according to my plan. Now, there's some personal things here. Sorry. That's none yet. Now, never make decisions according to money. Never let money rule over you. My money serves you as you serve me. Did you get that? Money is your servant as you are my servant, says the Lord. In the same way, never be moved to decision by those that are strong in their soul. You know, some people are just pretty persuasive. You understand what I mean? They have the ability to put pressure on you, and sometimes with great love. Y'all, did mama ever get you to do something? Okay, enough said. Those that are strong-willed know how to apply pressure on the soul realm. Make no decisions based upon that, says the Lord. Be directed by my spirit, follow my spirit, follow him. Follow the inner witness. Let reasonings have no part to play, but just follow my spirit. You are able to do this even at the level of your walk, for I have equipped you. I have trained you sufficiently for your present walk, and I'm training you now for your future walk, says the Lord. Now, how clear is that? Is that pretty plain? Now, let me just give you some examples. That was in 97. This is 2014. Within the last 12 months, and when he says it's a snare, he doesn't mean necessarily it's a, I mean, good people want you to come, you know. What he means is it's not on God's plan. You know, I don't want to be there if God's plan says I'm supposed to be here. And he doesn't mean it's necessarily the devil or something like that. He's just saying that's not God's plan, okay? So within the last 12 months, I've had two invitations. I have so many. To be honest, I could be gone every week of the year, and that's been that way for many years. If I just start accepting invitations, and within, we're going to Australia, both coasts, Perth and the Gold Coast, New Zealand, Brazil, Peru, Germany, Italy, Greece, all over the Europe, so many countries in Africa, I can't even remember them all. I mean, we could be gone all the time, and it's not the will of the Lord that we be gone. But let me tell you about two in particular. Within the last year, I've had two invitations to go to South America. Both of those, really well-known ministers. These are well-known. If I go there, and basically, if you're trying to build a ministry, if your goal is to get known and go where the money is, oh, by the way, the one he sent me pictures of where they're going, the hotel, it's right on the beach. I mean, it looks like every picture you ever saw of a place you'd want to go, you know, it's out right on the ocean and the swimming pool and it was nice, you know, really looked good. And that ministry there, that's going to be a lot of people. Probably a good chance for some good offerings, you know. If you're thinking that way, those are the ones you take. If that's what you're after, those are, yes. And the other one also was a very well-known ministry, would get my name known. It would probably, if I take that one, I'm going to get invitations to other good churches and the offerings come, and you know, and this is how you do it in the world. That's how you do it. So I got both those invitations. I didn't know if it was him or not. Now, I got to tell you, this time on neither one of those did I ever hear him say, thou shalt not. I didn't hear it either time. You hear him talk about the inner witness? Kept having that, something's not right. You know, how did Kenneth Hagin put that? He said, it's kind of like taking a bath with your socks on. You will get clean, but something's just not right, you know. It's just not. Well, that's the way it was. I never could get that peace, you know. And so God enabled me to word it in such a way, like, okay, don't lose my number. Thank you. I'm glad to come, you know. I mean, I'm glad that you invited me. I appreciate it and all. But this year, this time I just can't come. Well, that happens more often. I don't go a lot more than I go. And it's the same thing with this one. And if Sue's birthday or not, as much as I love my Sue, as much as I want to be there on Sue's birthday, she didn't die for me. It wasn't her blood that was shed for me. And Sue, if she was here, she'd tell you, if God wants Gary there, I want Gary there. Isn't that the way we do it?
Yes.
There is a book with your name on it. It's if you'll allow me, it's The Mind of Christ. This Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. Did I ever say go to 1 Timothy? I did good. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, look at verse 18. Now, Timothy, just so you know, Timothy was trained by Paul. Timothy wound up being the pastor at Ephesus. And history tells us Ephesus was a big church. We're probably talking maybe 100,000 people. It got to be a big church. And Timothy wound up being the pastor. And this is 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are two of the very last letters that Paul ever wrote, okay? This is after a lifetime of serving the Lord. A lot of wisdom in these letters. Yes, sir. Boy, I don't know why he wants to share that. Okay. Can I do it in a minute? Okay. All right. Somebody remind me, just say the word love in a little bit so I don't forget. Okay. After I teach. But while your mind is here, see, we're talking about his personal word to you. First, we talked about his written word, right? Now, when it comes to your personal word, whether it comes through you, most many of these came through me. I mean, I heard them myself, praying and listening, revelations, instructions like that. There's many instructions like that on how to function in ministry, things that he told me to do. He personally taught me, for me, how I was to expect the gifts of the Spirit to flow, what I'm to look for, okay? It might be different with you. That's the reason I don't teach that part very much, because he said that's how it's going to flow through me. I don't know how it's going to flow through you, okay? But there's so many. But there's also prophecies in here that I know Dave would have a word for me. Man, I know that's a word from God. It's in here. Bronk, have a word for me. You know, it's in here. Because look at this. It says, 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them what? By them prophecies, mightest war a good warfare. When you get a word from God, if it's really, let's just use the word prophecy, definition. If it's really a prophecy, let me ask you, did those words come from God? If they didn't come from God, then it's not a prophecy. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
I'm telling you, a word from God by prophecy, that's your life. You die on that mountain right there. That is your life. You got that? Yes, sir. Where is that? Well, I hope I have this with me. Give me just a second. Don't know if I brought that or not. I'll have to do my best to remember it to you then. I thought sure I had that. A word of prophecy came through me. No, don't think so. It is. Very good. I thought, sure, I brought that. There it is. Thank you. See, we need the body, right? This word came through me in 2006. And once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than they do their necessary food. They will no longer take my words lightly, as entertainment almost, and something of small value. For I have not had you here all of this time to separate myself from you now. With my own arm I gather you unto myself, and I am rekindling an appetite in you. An appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you, that they become your very life, more precious than gold, more needful than your necessary food. Eat my word. Now, what's he been talking about? Just the written word? No. The written word and his word to you. To him, it's his word to you. There is no difference. The words that go forth out of my mouth. Remember Isaiah 55? The words that go forth out of my mouth, they shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Eat my word until it becomes a part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does to the blood. God. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. Is that strong or what? Now, what you see here is 30 some odd years. This is like volume one. I don't really keep them in written form like this anymore. This is originally, most of these were on a ring binder. A spiral notebook, handwritten. Then they were typed, printed, put here. That's what we had at the beginning. Then later on, we got computers. There's actually many, many times this, I don't know how many, how thick it would be. You're talking about 30 some odd years of walking with the Holy Ghost. But the amazing thing is, I'm holding up, for benefit of those that can't see, I'm holding up an iPad. Everything God's ever said to me is on that iPad. And what's really neat about that, I can word search it. Yeah, I can put in the word like giving, and I can find out everything he ever said to me that uses that word giving. I could use the word invitation. Huh? It's sort of like a concordance, but it'll word search, see? And everything he's ever said to me, I've got it in this little iPad thingy. And you say, boy, that's a lot less bulky, isn't it? I don't know how many volumes I'd have to have if I had it all like this. Now I've got it like this. Show you something else. If he sends me around the world and I lose my iPad, I've got it all on that thumb drive right there. I've got it all on that thumb drive right there, yeah. And the thing of it is, I got like three more of these hid at the house, and Sue could send me one. Or email it to me or something, you know, get the information to me somehow. What I'm saying is, we live in an age where his word is more accessible. Paul didn't have this, you know. See, I didn't really have to go back when the man gave me the invitation today. I didn't have to go back and find that again. It's fortunate that I found it so I could use it as an illustration tonight. But I remembered it immediately. I know how to do it. I know how to get the witness. Whether I get to go this next Wednesday or whether I get to go some other time, it's really not up to me. All I want to do is find chapter 67, verse 20. You know what I mean? I want to find out what's his plan for next Wednesday. And right there is where I want to be. Yes, sir. Oh, man. See it? Lying thing. No, he told me to end by 9. Okay. I'm sorry, Lord. Okay. Love. That's what it is. Let me finish with this. While you're in 1 Timothy, let me show you something. There, people will misuse the word. They'll take the word and twist it. See, the devil can't remove the power. So what he does, he tries to twist it, just like he did with Jesus. Throw yourself off the pinnacle, the angels will bear you up, and all that stuff, you know. Look at this. This is really true, that the end of the commandment. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity. And you know that's an old English word for what? That's agape, right? The end, everything that we do, the end result, is, if it doesn't boil down to love, we've missed it somehow. Okay, the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Boy, that is absolutely true. People will lift that verse out of its setting and they'll say like, oh, it doesn't matter that they're teaching something opposite of the Bible across the street. You know, we're supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to be nice to them. You're not supposed to. Come on, the same guy who wrote that, come down to the end of the chapter. I read that verse 18. Let's read the next two. Let's read all three of them. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And I'm telling you right now, that's love. That's love for the church, and it's love for Hymenaeus and Alexander, that they learn not to blaspheme so that their spirit be saved in the day of the Lord. I don't want some ooshy-gooshy Jesus that is not the real Jesus. I don't want them preaching to me some Jesus that comes up and gives me a pat on the back when I leave here if Homer still can't see. Jesus would not give me a pat on the back. He'd kick my, well... He would not be happy. He won't be happy. And I don't want him to be happy. And I don't want him to ooshy-gooshy on me. I want him to be on me like a duck on a June bug. Do whatever needs to happen until Homer sees. And nothing else is acceptable. Amen? Well, I want the real Jesus. Jesus is love. But that's not that ooshy-gooshy, humanitarian, whatever human idea of what love is. Give me that one. Give me this one. That we learn not to blaspheme and we walk in the real love of God. Did y'all get anything out of that? Pray in tongues. Listen to what he says. Get your own blueprint. Get your own blueprint. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.